getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is a beautiful day in Atlanta. A beautiful day for hate. It's hate week. Yeah, it's here. Welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. We have new digs, Joe.
We do. We're here at Northside in Markham, and it's just smelling just as great as it ever has. You know, reminds me of back to the days when I was tailgating with the you get the kerosene, the Morton seasoned salt. You know, you get all that good stuff on the burgers and the dogs, and it's going to be a great day. Prior to the game kicking off, of course, for Falcons Saints, and then let's hope it goes as well after 1 o'clock.
So if you're looking for us, we're in, I guess, lot 432 next to, well, if you know where the Friendship Towers are, that's the big brown tower across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You just continue up Northside Drive, and we're up about two or three blocks in lot 432 at the corner, as you said, of Markham and Northside Drive here in our new spot for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. And it is going to be the Falcons and Saints today at 1 o'clock. We're taking you to 11. And the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network with the pregame show, Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson, and, of course, Wes and Dave on the call of the game. So first things first here, because we're going to get into a lot of things, Joe, with this game here. Falcons come into the game 1-2 on those first three. We talked about those first three being what they were, and I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that they're 1-2. It's disappointing because they could have been 2-1. In a lot of ways, maybe they could have been 3-0, but they could have been 0-3. So, yep. All right, you're 1-2, and now we get into games 4, 5, and 6. These are the critical three games. Tonight, quick turnaround Thursday when Tampa flies in, and we'll be right back here on Thursday Night Football, and then Carolina. Now you've got to win your division games, and it's got to start today.
Yeah, when Falcons fans and pundits were talking about how this season was going to open for the Falcons, you're right. A lot of people thought the team would start 1-2. I think, actually, things have been a little bit in better fortune for the Falcons in the way that they started 1-2, having won on the road against the Eagles on Monday Night Football instead of winning what the one that I think a lot of people thought they were going to win was that season opener here at home against Pittsburgh Steelers. But then coming off of that the predicted 1-2 that I think a lot of people thought, yeah, it was these three games, whereas you got to go and take probably at least two of these three, but especially these two at home that you have against your direct kind of contenders for this NFC South division in the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's a short week. Obviously, they'll come off of this game, have a short week for the Buccaneers here as well. So it's really an important, you know, 6-day stretch or 5-day stretch, really, for this team to give themselves some breathing room in this division and just to kind of put themselves out in front of the pack.
And to shake off, you know, what happened against the Kansas City Chiefs in a game they probably could have won.
Yeah.
And the now much discussed terrible no call back of the end zone against Kyle Pitts, which was obviously pass interference, and I'm not sitting here griping in my beer about that. The Falcons had two chances at the end of the game to possibly win the game, and they didn't get it done. And the last run there that was the stretch play that they checked into, that Kirk Cousins made a mistake. This team's got to – it can't shoot – this team is not good enough to shoot itself in the foot, to make mistakes. They've got to play clean football, and that really goes for today because this Saints team comes in, and I'm not really sure who they are.
Yeah.
Because the first couple of weeks, they looked like they were the best team in the NFL, and then last week they fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're even falling apart kind of on the injury front as well, and we'll get into it later with all the players that they're going to be missing, but some really important players. Obviously, the Falcons are going to be missing some players too, and we'll talk about that on their offensive line with Drew Dahlman, Caleb McGarry, but you know, the Saints are also missing offensive linemen. Chris Olave is going to be a game-time decision after popping up on the injury report on Friday with a hamstring, which is never a good indication for a player when you just pop up on the injury report late in the week.
Especially with a lower body injury.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of question marks around this Saints team right now. And with a new coordinator in Clint Kubiak, who obviously got so much praise for how well they started offensively these first couple weeks, I think now is actually when you learn a lot about an offensive coordinator and how well they know their teams and how you're able to manufacture offense when you don't have all your chips in play.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show in our new digs here in lot 432, corner of Northside and Markham. just up the street from the Friendship Towers. It's a big brown building here. Ticketmaster is a proud sponsor of the pregame show and, of course, of the Wade Ford tailgate, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. And you want to get your tickets for Thursday night's game with the Bucks too. And but before, first things first here, of course, the Saints today, 1 o'clock kick. As we head towards it, you can really kind of tell there's a little bit of tension in the air. And, yes, we're seeing Saints fans here, which surprises me a little bit that they – I thought they usually didn't get up before noon.
I was going to say that they're already awake.
Okay, they're here. Or maybe they just didn't go to bed after last night. I don't
know.
Don't know how it works.
Smelled the food.
Yeah, okay. I got you. All right, I do want to ask you one thing. I know this is the Falcons tailgate show, but we got two big stories in town besides the Falcons.
Yeah.
Today, the Braves can clinch. Now, the Braves clinch if they win today. They play 3:20 this afternoon against the Royals. Or if Arizona loses, they clinch either way.
Yep.
And you know, I read one story today from ESPN that said, well, if the Braves win and Arizona loses, the Braves clinch. And I'm like, no. The Braves clinch. Their magic number
because
is
they
one.
They hold that tiebreaker.
Yep. So they hold the tiebreaker. They do have to play tomorrow regardless, even if they clinch. And it'll be interesting, you know, hopefully they clinch today, and then it'd be interesting to see, you know, who do you play tomorrow? Do you just throw a bunch of, you know.
Could be.
You go down the bench there? I mean, do you really care if you're playing San Diego or Milwaukee? Or I don't know how you play it tomorrow, but let's hope they clinch today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody's obviously rooting for them to clinch today. But, yeah, it was funny because when they scheduled this doubleheader, obviously with the weather impacts from last week, I was, like I think everybody else, thinking, all right, well, the Braves are probably going to have to, you know, sweep that doubleheader or at least win one of the two to give themselves a chance. And who would have thought that it's actually the Mets who are going to need that doubleheader most likely to or possibly to get into the postseason, assuming the Braves win today with Charlie Morton going on the mound, which is an interesting decision for Brian Snicker to go with Charlie Morton today when it's a clinching game. They could go with Chris Sale, who they saved, who was initially supposed to pitch against the Mets back last week, but by not pitching him today, then you save him to, you know, not really needing him at all for the doubleheader, and you could save him for early in the postseason series.
You know, I'm not Nostradamus, but I'm watching the football games, and I see the Braves. I'm monitoring the Braves on my, you know, like at the GameCast.
Yeah.
And I see they're going to the bottom of the ninth. I said, oh, they're going to get a walk-off, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, right. You get that feeling. Yeah.
And then there goes Darno.
Let me ask you this, John. Where does this rank? Like, let's just assume the Braves make the playoffs here. Where does this rank in terms of Brian Snicker's managerial jobs that he's
done? Can we quit talking about Brian Snicker being a bad manager?
Well, yeah, of course. Like, those days are long gone. But, I mean, it's just amazing to me. I mean, obviously this team has had, you know, more, you know, winninger seasons, more successful seasons in terms of the win-loss record and things like that. But, you know, with everything, and obviously winning a World Series, of course. And that still might be, for me, his best job that year they won the World Series. But, I mean, this one is not far behind it, if at all, because the amount of things that he's had to deal with, obviously this team has had to deal with all the injuries, which everybody knows, it's just incredible that they found themselves here yet again.
All right, 60 seconds, because the SEC championship game is going to be here, and we want a rematch between Georgia and Alabama. That game last night was just
the best of college football.
Nuts.
That's exactly what you want out of college
football. It's 28 to nothing. Milroe looks like the best player in the history of the game, and you're going, okay, this thing is over.
Yeah.
Georgia could have, they probably should have won.
Yeah, yeah. Carson Beck came roaring back in the second half after everybody was thinking he might get benched in the game. So credit to him for the way that he responded. Of course, throws the interception late to end it, but man, what a college football game. Like, that is what you love to see. Like, there was these games of the centuries that they love to describe these games, and the games of the centuries that I remember were Alabama versus LSU from back in, like, the mid-2000s, and those were always these
Alabama-Clemson
defensive
games.
Yeah, these were all these defensive kind of ugly games to watch, and this one was just spread out wide open, tons of offense.
Yeah, the Texas-USC championship game, Vince Young against Reggie Bush,
yep.
You know, ending at the 50-yard line. I mean, there's been some wild games, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this just sets up the rest of the year here. But for Alabama, I'm going to tell you something. Alabama's docket, you know, they got Tennessee, but boy, I tell you what, that is huge for Alabama, because you start looking at their schedule. I'm not penciling anybody into the Georgia Dome just yet. But if I had to rank it, Alabama is certainly favored to get there.
Yeah, probably. And I'm neutral. I'm not a fan of either Alabama or Georgia, but you know, I don't want to be speaking out of turn here, but, like, this feels to me like the preeminent rivalry in college football, or in the SEC right now, which is Georgia and Alabama. Obviously, there's historical ties that have, you know, make other rivalries, but in terms of just, like, the play on the field, are the teams that everybody wants to see.
No question. And it'll be interesting to see how Texas kind of works its way into this mix later this
yeah,
season.
Absolutely.
You know, and,
right.
You know, what does that turn into?
Right.
And does so that
fun.
Become something else? You know, I mean, because it was Alabama-Clemson. Now it's Alabama-Georgia. Does it become Texas and somebody? Texas and Georgia, Texas and Alabama, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to the matter at hand today, which is the New Orleans Saints. This is the Wait For It Tailgate Show on a gorgeous Sunday. Hate week has commenced. Both teams 0-0 on the year, as I like to say, because that's how it is. I wonder, because there was some chatter this week, Joe, and I'm interested to know from Flowery Branch, there was some chatter this week online about some of the Falcons still having a bad taste in their mouth about how the game last year ended, the final game, where New Orleans could have taken a knee and they decided to score, and, you know, Arthur Smith is running on the every right mm-hmm. to be mad about that. Look, Saints ran the Falcons off the field, didn't need to score a touchdown in the final seconds. They chose to score and rub it in the Falcons' face, and some of the players haven't forgotten.
Yeah, and I asked Bijan Robinson about this, and he, you know, basically said that, you know, they have not been talking about it, but I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I think that it's smart to not, like, want to put that out in the media, but make no mistake, I believe that these Falcons players do still have that bad taste in their mouth. I mean, I think as a competitor, that kind of thing doesn't leave you. And, of course, there's a lot of new faces for this Falcons team, so not everybody was a part of it last year. And I think that even some of the players understand some of the reasons why it wasn't necessarily like a coaching or like organizational decision by the Saints. But make no mistake, nobody likes to be disrespected like that, you know, on a competitive sports field. And, I think that they will absolutely be looking for vengeance over that moment and some other ones from that game.
Yeah, and of course. But the bigger point here, of course, is – you know, you talk about 1-2 again, and the reason that if you had to be 1-2, and really they probably should be 2-1, all right, but if you had to be 1-2, it did play out, as you said, the best possible way, because the one you got was a conference game.
Right.
And conference games are more important than non-conference games, just are for tiebreakers as we get toward the end of the year. So every game is important here, but boy, is this, you know, it's only week four, but still. The importance isn't just in the tiebreaker or in the division or the fact that you're at home against these guys or that it's hate week. It's important, I think, for the Falcons to – I want to see this team actually start to achieve its potential this year.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's one of the things – I don't know if it's like a – Falcons fans are necessarily feeling frustrated about that yet, but I think that there's a common understanding that – this team has not put it together for four quarters yet this season. Even in the win against Philadelphia, you know, that lead kind of slipped away from them in the second half and things were getting rocky, and they shouldn't have really won that game. Philadelphia kind of gave them, a grip onto the side of the cliff in that game, and the Falcons were able to pull themselves up. But I think everybody wants to see them put together four solid quarters, especially just offensively. It seems like this team
has gotten into lulls. They've done a pretty darn good job.
And I think it's one thing Zach Robinson, being a first-year play caller, has struggled with a bit. But he's gone up against really tough defensive coordinators. But the adjustments after halftime, I think, is where this team has slipped a bit. And so you'd like to see them just come out of halftime today and continue to be able to have really solid offensive production. But I think it's a great opportunity to do that today against defense.
Yeah, right. It's going to be really an intriguing game. Obviously, tensions are going to be really high, and you know, there's a lot on the line here, but I think more than anything else, what I want to see from this Falcons team is consistency on offense. I want to see them have – I know they're down Dolman and McGarry, and we'll get more into that a little bit later on, but I want to see some semblance of a run game.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do.
That's what killed them against the Chiefs. They just couldn't get that efficient running game going.
Right, they couldn't, and we need to get these guys loose here. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can do that, then it'll loosen up the passing game.
Exactly.
The passing game comes after the running game, but if you can't establish the run, they're just going to, you know, pin their ears back on the rush like Pittsburgh did, and they're going to just – you know, drop people deep and mm-hmm. and play dime all the time, and you're not going to have anybody, you know, open to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are at the corner of Northside and Markham in our new digs for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke and Joe Patrick kicking off your Falcons Sunday, headed towards the network coverage at 11. Kickoff at 1 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Falcons and Saints today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go!
Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Chiefs on the near hash, moving left to right here in the opening period. Snap to Mahomes. Looks right. Going to loop it for the end zone. It's intercepted. Justin Simmons. Holy smokes.
Yeah, the Falcons defense has done its part. Now can they do it again. Justin Simmons with a big interception to deny Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs last week in a very disheartening loss because the Falcons had a couple of chances, Joe Patrick, to win the game. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We're in our new digs, again, up the street from the Friendship Tower, which is the corner of Northside and Markham. If you know where the 76 station is, past Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we're kind of across the street from there. We invite you to come on by and say hi and be part of the Wade Ford Tailgate. For the game today between the Falcons and Saints, we're taking you to 11 o'clock. Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the network pregame. Wes and Dave on the call at 1, and we have a reminder to stay tuned after the game with Rob Tribble and the Falcons flyover, and hopefully he has a lot of good calls coming in from Falcons fans as they take on the Swampers today here. So let's talk a little bit about this game here. Jesse Bates this week talking about those two safeties, speaking about trying to get everything going here, and as we talked about last week, making Mercedes-Benz Stadium and this town kind of a tough place to come play.
Yeah, absolutely.
A loss is a loss. You never want to, lose. Start off 0-2 at home. We want to, get this city behind us. But I think it was a hard-fought game. A lot that we can learn from and, really build off of. Tough loss. Like I said, it is what it is. Now we're off into divisional. And that's the most important thing. And we'll be ready to get back to work.
Well, there are a couple of things here, and that was after, obviously, the game against Kansas City last week. They are 0-2 at home. They have yet to make this a home field advantage. It's something we talked about before the Pittsburgh game, that there was one of the things that Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and the organization were aiming to do is to make Mercedes-Benz Stadium a home field advantage for them. And, Joe, when you start 0-2 at home, you've got to start winning in this building.
Yeah, and just being in Flowery Branch this week and talking to some of the guys, you sense that that's one of their big frustrations with what's happened so far this season, which is that they have not been able to win in this building. And especially hearing from Kirk Cousins, I think that he really kind of echoed those sentiments in what he was saying about, wanting to really start something, really start to build something, and that they've put a lot of good time on task together with each other over the offseason, and they've had some moments during these first few weeks of the season, but they really want to start building this thing, snowballing it in a good way where they feel like they have a presence in this stadium, that they can get their offense going and rolling on that turf in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I think that's why he said he kind of felt disgusted walking off the field after KC, because they just left enough plays out there and they didn't kind of give the fans what I think everybody wanted, which was not just the win against the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, but to have that kind of national narrative be something positive about the Falcons.
Especially when Joe, the television audience was like 26 million.
I think it was
a
record viewing audience for week three in the NFL, something like that, or on Sunday Night Football. So, it was incredible. And, it wasn't a bad showing by the Falcons. I actually think a lot of neutrals came away from that actually thinking a lot more positively about the Falcons than maybe they had before. But it just shows you, like, the competitor in not just Kirk, but the rest of these guys, like, that's not enough. Like, they still feel like they lost that game. They did lose the game, and they need to, just do those little things that will get them over the hump in this one today.
Well, I think you could say from a Falcons offensive standpoint, they obviously need to be better, just generally overall more consistent. But really it goes back, Joe, to the running game because, Drake London scored in back-to-back games. We've seen Kyle Pitts have some big moments. Certainly Darnell Mooney has had a lot to say about, and he's been pretty impressive, actually, in the first three games. But that running game, I don't care that they're banged up. They've got to find a way to get Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier going because the play action doesn't work if they don't run.
Yeah, and it's really tough to judge exactly how effective this Falcons team is at running the football through three games because they've gone up against two of the better run defenses you're going to see in the NFL in the Chiefs, which, by the way, that Chiefs front is one of the better ones in the NFL. Everybody talks about, Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and their offense for obvious reasons, but that defense is so underrated and especially has probably the best defensive coordinator in the game in Steve Spagnuolo, and then the Steelers as well. They might be number one in terms of how good their front is. So some really tough challenges for the Falcons so far, but what they showed that in that Eagles game when they were the dominant team up front, they were able to get that running game going, and that really opened up so much for them offensively.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Falcons football Sunday on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Fricke with our Falcons insider Joe Patrick. We are doing the Wait For Tailgate show again, and we'll be stressing this from a new location. We are off Northside Drive still, but we are up the street past Friendship Towers. That's the big brown brick building that's across the street from Mercedes-Benz. A couple of blocks this way of that. What direction would that be? South, I guess?
Southwest.
South, yep. Southwest, yeah. And of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And across the street, if you see the 76 station, we're across the street. We're in there in lot 432. Joe, I know that the Saints come in and you want to, all right, again, division game, conference game, home game, hate game, all that kind of good stuff here. For the Falcons, trying to find who they are and their identity is, you know, and a team that's got a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator, they haven't developed that yet. And so I don't know. I'm kind of curious from your standpoint, in Flowery Branch, what are they saying about, you know, this is what we'll lean on when we – if they're going to be a good team this year, they're going to have something offensively that they lean on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is yet?
Not specifically. I mean, so here's a – like, I actually think they're being coy and wise in not, like, stating some of these things out loud. Like Raheem Morris talks about, what is the identity of this football team? Well, we're going to discover that over the course of this season, and our play on the field will kind of illustrate that.
How about you make a decision and run with it?
Well, but I think that they have – I mean, I think internally they have a way that they want to play. And we know, like, they still lean on that outside zone running game. That's a core bread and butter for them. I actually think they're doing more of it now this year than they were last year under Arthur Smith, who was kind of known for being the outside zone guy. But I thought last year, actually – they got away from the outside zone a little bit more because it was quite predictable. They had so many tendencies that way. They were running a lot more counters and things off of that, split zones and things. And I think that they're more kind of rooted in their fundamental outside zone scheme so far this year. But I think it's more about the passing game. What is this passing game going to look like? Because I think that that's what everybody's curious about with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins coming. Like, the whole point of him coming in is to establish some sort of rhythm and way of playing that gets Drake London involved, that gets Kyle Pitts involved, and obviously they get some of these other playmakers involved. And I think that that's what's a little bit less – we don't know as much yet because we have a bit of a small sample size. And then one of those sample sizes was against the Steelers where they ran this totally, like, kind of modified shotgun – pistol
thing,
offense,
right?
They kind of abandoned. So
yeah, right.
That's that game you kind of had to throw in the heap and kind of judge what they've done since then.
In those two games against Philadelphia and Kansas City, the one thing that the Falcons have done well offensively is the vertical passing game.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing. They got Kyle Pitts free. They got Darnell Mooney free. The vertical passing game is something that they haven't had. You know, they didn't have it with Mariota or Ritter, I'm being kind.
Yeah.
To have that, to lean on that, you know, maybe – we always say you establish the run to set up the play action to throw the ball, right? What if you did it the other way? What if you took shots vertically, made them back up, take safeties out of the box, and that frees up the run?
I think they have to do that. I think that teams, frankly, have been challenging the Falcons and Kirk Cousins as to how far he can push the ball downfield, and so they're just kind of coming up and crowding some of these receivers. And it's not like the Falcons receivers, Darnell Mooney's a speedster, but it's not like Drake London. I think a lot of teams are showing that they're not scared that he's going to necessarily beat them deep. Now, I think that he could do that and kind of prove them wrong, but they're going to have to be proven wrong before they actually make adjustments defensively and kind of back off him a little bit. So I think that that's on Kirk Cousins in this offense to kind of prove that they can hurt teams when they overextend themselves closer to the line of scrimmage. But I think that what we've seen so far out of this Falcons offense is they are utilizing that speed, especially from Darnell Mooney. Like, so many kind of crossing routes with him catching the ball in stride and then being able to run after the catch. So we've seen so much more of that this year than I think we've seen at a proportionate rate in either of the last 2 years, where, frankly, it was the quarterback play that just wasn't there to be able to throw over the middle in some of those windows. And I think that Kirk Cousins is showing a little bit of that. And I think the other positive thing about this offense is I think you are starting to see more progression as the weeks go on. I think as Kirk gets a little bit healthier, and not even just the health, but it's more of just getting back in the rhythm of football and playing that NFL game speed, I think you're starting to see him get a little bit more caught up with things, get a little bit more comfortable and confident in the pocket, and be able to go through his progressions and find, you know, some receivers like Kyle Pitts on that 50-yard catch. If you look at that replay, Kirk Cousins is initially looking not out to his side of the field, but he's able to read through his entire progression, get over to Kyle Pitts' side, and then hit him on that deep ball where there wasn't a ton of separation. It was a really nice thrown ball by Kirk. And so that's, I think, what you want to see is you want to see him be able to take advantage of opportunities that create explosive plays for these playmakers like Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan Robinson.
Wade Ford tailgate show on this Falcons Saints Sunday from 92 on the game. John Fricke with Joe Patrick kicking your coverage day off here, headed towards the network at 11 o'clock here. Joe, Derek Carr, the Falcons so far have been kind of like a team-wide Tack McKinley, almost getting sacks. So I think that, you know, they've got to get to Derek Carr today, especially with the banged up offensive line for the New Orleans Saints. They've got to find a way to get to him, which would in turn maybe force Derek Carr into some turnovers. How do you start to take more risk on defense if you're Jimmy Lake, in terms of if you can't get to him with just a three-man front, do you have to start blitzing? Do you have to start stunning? What do you have to do to rattle Derek Carr's cage here?
Yeah, I think they will take more risks, and I say that because I think they've been particularly risk-averse in rushing the passer over these first 3 weeks, because look at the quarterbacks that they've faced. They've faced Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes, three guys who can really hurt you if they get out of the pocket. And I think that there's been a concerted effort to try to keep those guys in front of them and not necessarily worry about bringing down the quarterback. Well, let's just keep him in front of us. Let's rally to the football and tackle short of the line to gain and get our stops that way. So I think that has to change in this game. Derek Carr is, frankly, a quarterback that you can get after. This team has gotten after him last year in the past. They sacked him several times here last year. So I expect them to be more successful in the pass rush. If you look at the Falcons, the pass rush win percentages for this team, very, very low. And the amount of pressure is very, very low. But I think that that is, again, guys are not necessarily trying to win in the pass rush against these quarterbacks. They're just essentially trying to hold up their tackles or their offensive linemen and then react if the quarterback tries to escape the pocket, which they've been, for the most part, keeping these guys pretty much in the pocket. So, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a different plan.
That's a very fair point. To use another analogy, there was a time where teams in the old Big Eight would have, like, oh, you got the best pass defense in the nation. Well, dude, you just played three wishbone teams.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Who threw the ball three times a game.
Yeah, exactly.
You're only allowing 36 yards passing a game. Yeah, because they throw it three times.
Exactly. And then when they turned into the Big 12, that completely flipped on its head. And then they all became spread offenses. And yeah.
Right. So, I mean, so you take it all in. And you're right. I mean, there was a lot of contain that was going on against the first three quarterbacks where Derek Carr could kind of beat you with his feet a little bit. I mean, I guess a little, but not much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sort of like Kirk Cousins or Matt Ryan in that regard. He's just, you know, a guy that'll get a first down there, you know, once a game or something like that with his feet. But for the most part, you could try and contain him. So, yeah, you got to get some more pass rush, but you got to win one-on-one battles. If you have to keep blitzing, you know, I'm kind of, you know, hold my hand up to the top of my head here with certain players like Arnold Ebiketie. I'm just done. I mean, you got to show me something.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other area where the Falcons can definitely win on this defensive line and the pass rush is on the interior today. The Saints are going to be without their starting center, which the Falcons will be as well, but they're going to be without one of their starting guards. They've got all kinds of, they kind of scramble guys around. When their center's out, they take their guard and put them at center, and then they put in the backup guards. So they're going to be all mixed up in that interior.
So you're saying Grady Jarrett. Grady Jarrett over under 1.5.
Exactly. Probably, yeah. I mean, you would think that if there's going to be a breakout game for him, you know, that it will come against the Saints, where he has had a track record of success, especially when they've played here at home. So he's going to be, and not just him, but David Onyemata as well, going to be extremely important in generating that pass rush.
Already, he and Cade Nels are already on board with trying to get
right,
back.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know they want to win this one.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show live from Lot 432 off Northside Drive. And our new digs, John Fricke and Joe Patrick. Network coverage at 11 with Mike and Chris. And, of course, Wes and Dave with the call. 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Falcons and Saints. It is Hate Week, Round 1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What is just a perfect Sunday morning to host a tailgate.
It's amazing. This is perfect.
You know,
long sleeve tee weather right now.
Right.
It's perfect.
You know, we were here for the first couple of games, and it was a little toasty. And you know, because we've done this before, Joe, by the end of the year,
right,
it go be a little chilly.
Yeah. we go through the whole gamut of weather conditions, it seems, like over the course of a season. But no, this is great. I mean, this is Yeah, absolutely perfect tailgating weather, eating tailgating food weather, drinking tailgating beverages weather. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's football weather.
It is football weather. And we're getting ready for the Falcons and the Swampers today inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Let's look around the NFL. This look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Hatfield says, put pork on your fork here. Of course, Thursday Night Football, kind of an ugly, ugly game for the Cowboys to beat the Giants 20-15. Both teams kind of like did not look good. Let's take a look at today here, though, Joe. 1 o'clock games. Let's begin in the division. We will see the Bucs on Thursday. And that game, of course, will be Thursday Night Football, and they're going to have to fly in. So it's a short week for both teams, but the good news for the Falcons is they don't have to go anywhere.
No travel.
Yep. No travel. Eagles and the Bucs, third straight game for the Eagles against the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what to make of the Bucs yet. This is why I don't pick games anymore, because I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. Do you have any insight into the Eagles and Buccaneers today?
I think the Eagles are the better team. Like, that's just like my natural intuition is that the Eagles are the more talented roster between the two, so I would lean them, but you never know. I mean, this Buccaneers team beat a Lions team the other week where the Buccaneers were without the majority of their secondary, and they got outgained by a
241
yards.
And the Lions were 1-for-7 in the red zone.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Jared Goff not having a great year, by the way. Kind of gone under the radar because he's been really good the last couple of years. But, that's another interesting story. But the other thing I find interesting about this is it's interesting how the Eagles keep playing these teams who the Falcons have on their schedule. So it's kind of a nice kind of barometer, a litmus test as to how they stack up against a team that the Falcons narrowly beat. And we can, I think, generally say that they're of similar quality. So it will be certainly interesting. I think Falcons fans will have an eye on that game for that reason.
The Eagles coming in off that win over the Saints last week, where I'm pretty sure the Saints let them score that last touchdown because it was the only chance they were going to have to get the ball back.
Yep.
And then, of course, they couldn't do anything once they got the ball back here. The Panthers are hosting the Bengals. Now, the Bryce Young Panthers probably wouldn't stand a chance. The Red Rifle,
right.
The Red Rifle Panthers seem like a different team.
They got all new life in them, right? Yeah, it's crazy. And I didn't really get to see much of that game, but you can't argue with the results, right? I mean, I think we have to look at this Carolina Panthers team as being a fundamentally different team at this point with a different quarterback who is able to get some of these playmakers that they've got, get them the ball a little bit more. A guy like Deontay Johnson, he's a bona fide NFL star receiver. Xavier Leggett, obviously their top draft pick, a really solid athlete who can, you know, create explosive plays. That's not a pushover, I think, anymore, as much as we thought they were week one, week two.
Man, the Bengals are one of the surprise teams of the NFL.
Ooh,
I mean, Joe Burrow comes back. Everybody's thinking of big things. They're 0-3.
Yeah. And look like they don't have a lot of answers. I don't know what to make of them. I still feel like they're a very talented team, and you never want to bet against a quarterback like Joe Burrow who has a track record. I mean, he was in a Super Bowl. Like this team went to a Super Bowl with these guys. You never know if, like, the Ja'Marr Chase holdout in training camp has anything to do with them kind of getting off to this weird start where, like you said, obviously 0-3 and kind of rickety, but I don't know what to make of the Bengals, to be perfectly honest. Maybe the most confounding team to me so far.
Well, let's try another one. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, 0-3.
Well, yeah. But
and going to Houston today.
On this one, I've always kind of been a bit of a Trevor Lawrence skeptic, so I'm not that surprised to see him struggling, but I think it is kind of eye-opening just to see how poor it's been. And I probably would not have predicted it would have been this bad. But, I mean, he doesn't look much better than many of the other quarterbacks that were in that draft. I mean, obviously there was the big kind of conversation with him and Justin Fields when they were coming out in that draft. And obviously Lawrence goes one and Fields falls a bit. But now Fields is having more success on the field with his team, at least, than Lawrence is having through 3 weeks.
Now, a couple of big hate games this week. Of course, Falcons and Saints, which, you know, is super hate. We all understand that. Vikings and Packers, which is also super hate. And contrast the Vikings and Packers in Green Bay today with the two teams we just talked about. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. The Vikings and the Packers are off to flying starts with Sam Darnold and now Malik Willis.
Crazy. It's so funny because the narrative, and I think that it's a legitimate thing to say, which is that, like, the quarterback really drives the success of your football team. But I think what these coaches are showing, well, I think a couple different things. In the case of Green Bay, it's that a really good coach is able to kind of scheme around maybe a partly deficient quarterback and be able to get results on a short-term basis until you get your guy back, which is exactly what they've done. But then for the Vikings, I mean, I think that Kevin O'Connell's got to be one of the best. Obviously, he's one of the best coaches. I'll make the bold statement saying I think he's the best coach in the NFL right now because of what he's doing with Sam Darnold, what he's done in the past, even last year with all the quarterbacks that they were running through.
How about Matt LaFleur with the Falcons? Packers doing with Malik Willis?
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, both of these guys are probably, you know, putting their name up there for Coach of the Year contention through 3 weeks, but it's really impressive to see what the Vikings are doing. They don't look any worse, really, than the team they were when they had Kirk Cousins there.
Also, one, Broncos and the Jets in New York. Are you buying or selling on Aaron Rodgers is going to have that kind of difference the whole year? Is this actually happening?
I'm selling. I've kind of been a fader of the Jets, and yeah, they've had some moments here, but I just don't see this team as being one that's going to be able to sustain success, and especially once you get into the crunch time of the season, when you get down to those final few important weeks, and then maybe if they do make the playoffs, I just don't see that happening. But, you know, they've gotten off to a decent start so far, so we'll see.
Steelers going for 4-0 as they go to Indianapolis. The Rams are at the Bears, and we're finding out just how difficult it is to be a rookie quarterback
in
the NFL.
No kidding. Makes the Falcons' decision with Penix, I think, look a little bit wiser and seeing how all these rookie quarterbacks are doing lately.
4 o'clock games. Patriots are at the 49ers. The 49ers – whatever reason, I'm loath to give playbook loser guy any credit here, but Kyle Shanahan has managed to keep this team together. It's not the first time, you know, with all the injuries. Now no Hargrave, and now no McCaffrey, who knows with this Achilles tendonitis here. That team, Purdy's been, they got George Kittle back, but boy, that 49ers team, you want to talk about ravaged with injuries?
It's never good when you have to go to Germany to get your injury looked at.
No.
Usually means something bad is happening, and maybe something nefarious, but we don't know about that.
Do some experimental work in Germany
that
we can't get in the United States.
It's like, yeah, exactly. But they're going to beat the Patriots, though. I don't care how down the Niners are, they're going to beat the Patriots. Kyle Shanahan, coach team, in that roster, for what the pieces that they still have against that Patriots roster, there's a massive difference.
Commanders is a team we're going to see later in the year when Dan Quinn returns to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and he's actually done a pretty good job. You want to talk about the rookie quarterbacks? His rookie quarterbacks actually look pretty good.
Yeah, and when we go through the draft process, you know, you say it's a crapshoot lottery ticket, whatever you want to call it. These quarterbacks and which one's going to hit? It certainly looks like we know which one's hitting right now. Jaden Daniels looks by far the best rookie quarterback of this class. A very talented class with like six quarterbacks taken in the first round, but He looks like a different level. His teammates talk about him like they call him him. I don't know if you know what that means, John, but that's the thing they can say nowadays.
Yes, right.
When you're getting that kind of respect from like veteran teammates, I think it shows a lot as a rookie quarterback.
Browns are at the Raiders at 4 o'clock. Chiefs are at the Chargers. That's an old blood rivalry there between those two. And we'll see if Jim Harbaugh can get the Chargers going in the right direction. That'll look good. 8 o'clock tonight, Bills and Ravens. Interesting game here. The Bills look like the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, they do. And took me by surprise because I thought they would miss guys like Stephon Diggs more. But just Josh Allen showing. And Joe Brady, the new offensive coordinator there, who they had some success with down the stretch of last season when he came on board, looking like a really good fit with those two together. And they're going to be a problem for the AFC.
Yeah, I think if they go into Baltimore tonight and win this game.
Yeah. And how big of a hole does that put Baltimore in, by the way?
Oh, right. They'd be one and three. Right.
A very talented team. Yeah.
I know. That's a bit of a surprise. If the Bills go in and they go to 4-0, I got to tell you, I think they become the favorites in the AFC.
Probably. You're probably right. And can I say one more thing about one of these teams we kind of glossed over? But the Steelers, this is Mike Tomlin's first ever time being 3-0 with a team.
Wow.
Kind of crazy with how long he's been there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. Doubleheader on Monday night, Titans and Dolphins. Dolphins, you know, obviously they're playing like their fifth string quarterback at this point.
Right.
There's some chatter. If you're the Dolphins, would you trade for Bryce Young?
I think they should think about it. I think the reason why they might not is because they don't think he's a good enough quarterback.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would think.
Yeah.
Is that they go, guy, dude's not that good.
Yeah. That might be the reason why they don't do it. But otherwise, they would have every incentive to do it because they've got a team that's kind of built to win now. They need that quarterback who can get this ball distributed like we've talked about with the Falcons for so long. And clearly, Skylar Thompson is not the guy to do it. So I don't think he's not going to play this week, I believe. I think it's going to be Tyler Huntley that's lined up to start for them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, when teams get, you know, quarterbacks that get injured, and then they have to pull somebody off the scrap heap, and usually doesn't work out unless you happen to be Josh Dobbs against the Falcons. And then the other game on Monday Night Football is Seahawks and Lions, and you mentioned Jared Goff.
Yeah.
The Seahawks quietly have been playing pretty good football this season.
Yeah, really good head coach. You know, McDonald there in Seattle looks like a really solid fit with Ryan Grubb as offensive coordinator. I think the Lions are going to have their hands full with this game. I think they might. I think I'm just predicting to lose right now.
Oh, wow. Even at home, huh?
I think so.
The Wait For Tailgate Show brought to you in part by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good, you'll want breakfast all day. Visit the WSauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you. And in our new digs, we are right beside the breakfast sauce of the W Sauce tent here at Lot 432 on the corner of Northside and Markham. Again, if you go into the old place where we used to be, you know, because everybody's kind of used to us being up at the old lot, we're no longer there. We're down the street or a little bit south-southwest as you go along Northside Drive here, about two, three blocks from the Friendship Towers. Friendship Towers, of course, right there, the big brown building across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You know it's good when John and I are seated about 4 feet away from each other, and there's still a haze. I can see a haze between us. So that lets you know that it's good.
That's not coming from us.
It's not coming from us. It's coming from around us, and it smells amazing.
I just want to make sure everybody understands that, because radio's theater of the mind. Oh, man, what are you doing? You know, I mean, and it's not
like protein.
Yeah. It's not Swampers doing it. It's our people.
That's right.
So, because, you know, hey, listen, let's go.
This seems like a pretty Falcon-centric lot here, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
I haven't seen many Saints.
Right. You know, I haven't seen many Swampers here either because, you know, normally in the old place, we would get inundated with those people, you know? I know. It's good. No, I want to see more Falcons fans. Man, winning at home here. Gee, Joe, again.
We need it. Yeah. This team needs it.
This 5-day stretch, these two games – I don't ever want to put, look, it's a 17-game, 18-week-long season. But if you're going to be somebody, 2-0 this week, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
If you're going to be somebody, 2-0 has got to happen.
Yeah. I was thinking about this morning, just like while I was making my coffee. It's weird because it's week four, but it feels like such a monumental week for the Falcons in their season. This game in particular, but when you talk about these two games in this coming week, so important. And again, to win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think that win on Monday Night Football against the Eagles got a lot of buy-in from Falcons fans for Kirk Cousins as a who he is as a quarterback, you know, how he can lead this team on the field. But I think there's still an element of getting the fans on board by winning at home and kind of showing that kind of play style in front of your home fans and getting that party atmosphere going again. That's the next step for this Falcons team in terms of kind of getting that identity, that collective identity of the city around them.
Well, I think it's even bigger than that, Joe. I could argue that there isn't a team in the NFL that goes, oh, going to Mercedes-Benz, You know, you start saying, hey, I got to go to Lambeau.
Right.
You know, oh, wait, I got to go down to the Swamp. You know, I mean, there's certain places you go in this league. I got to go to even Denver. You know, I mean, there's certain places in this league you don't really want to play because they are hostile environments.
Yeah. And the Georgia Dome used to be that way for sure. I mean, it was so loud, you know, when teams would have to take timeouts so they couldn't hear. Like, that's the kind of thing you want to get back.
Because it was a smaller building.
Exactly.
And it was just a louder building.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though it had less seats, it was just a louder building. And now this building can get loud. We know that. We've seen it get loud. I mean, the loudest I've ever actually heard this building was probably for Atlanta United.
You know what I mean? No, I'll say the loudest I've ever heard this building was against this team last year while the whatever it was, 6, 7, 10 seconds that Jesse Bates was returning that touchdown, that 100-yard touchdown. That was the loudest I've heard the building was during that touchdown return. It was incredible.
I would say the loudest I ever heard it was during the MLS Cup Final against Portland.
That was a big one, too. Yeah.
You know, when Tito scored the second goal, that place went ballistic. Don't we miss Atlanta United?
We need them back. We need them back. Where have they been?
Yeah, where'd you guys go? But again, you know, the good news is Braves can clinch today. If they beat the Royals, they play at 3:20 at Truist Park. And, of course, the Falcons and the Saints, it is a huge day of sports in Atlanta. Hopefully a very good day of sports in Atlanta. If you're a local sportscaster in town like I used to be, man, you're running back and forth.
Yeah.
Do we have clinching going on? Do we have Falcons and Saints? You know, what do we lead with? You know, what's the big story in town?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
multiple press conferences.
You know, right. You know, dual press conferences, all that kind of stuff. You know, so a lot of good stuff. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, 1 hour in the books and an hour closer to kickoff between the Falcons and the Swampers. We'll continue here as we take you toward the network at 11 o'clock on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game.